Good evening. It's a good day, isn't it? We're here. We showed up. Always thankful to show up. Little lady out front this morning, she said, you know, if they'd let me, I would just live here. I thought, well, that's a love for the Lord, isn't it? So she hasn't been coming very long, so it was nice to hear her say that. But thank you for being here tonight. Pastor Mike is doing the Lord's business, so he's in Turks and Caicos, and I saw the Facebook picture of the beach, so I really feel sorry for him. Yeah. But he said they were going to be laying block and doing plumbing, so that's hard labor. So anyway, I'm thankful for the air-conditioned church, aren't you? Have y'all started whining yet because of the heat? Yeah, yeah. We do that sometime, don't we? Tonight we're going to talk about The Amazing Race. How many of you ever watched the show on TV, The Amazing Race? It's quite a competition, wasn't it? And I like to watch it when I have time. It's just I don't watch much TV anymore, but it was real competitive. And actually, they would have maybe six teams, maybe more. And they gave them all the challenges of things they had to do. And they would go from one place to the other to meet the challenge. And, of course, whomever showed up before this young man and all of his group, first, they were not eliminated. So that was quite a challenge because at the end of it, whomever was left standing got $1 million. So $1 million could help anyone. But so it was real competitive, and it was interesting to see how that they would react to that. But, you know, we're on an amazing race, too. Colin talked about this morning, I have had in my heart all week. But I've been studying the book, The Effective Leadership, which is part of the Berean course, and it will challenge you in a way that you've never been challenged, but yet it'll help you to empathize with the leaders of the church, the pastors, associate pastors, because all of the responsibilities of leadership or what happens in the church falls on Pastor Mike. So therefore, there is a responsibility there, but we all have an amazing race to plow, to follow, to get there. And in 2 Timothy, it says, Paul writes, he says, I have fought the fight. Y'all, this is coming to the end of his journey. Now, we know that he was shipwrecked 3 times. We know that also that he was in prison much of the time. And he was fortunate, though, that when he was in prison, he was allowed to have visitors at the beginning. But as it grew time toward the end, he was not allowed that privilege. But he said, I have fought the fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. He finished the course and all the things that he was instructed to do. And he kept the faith. Then it says, henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. You see, Paul is proclaiming he already knew what he had ahead of him. And he was ready for that because he was tired. He was working. He'd been busy. He was training other people to do some of the things that he had done. He was preparing, but he said, I acknowledge that I have a crown. Let me ask you something. When you think of going to heaven, do you ever think about the crown? I used to sing a song, Give Mother My Crown. My mother was the most fabulous person in the world. She was always working hard, loving hard. And to me, there was no one like her. And I bet you could say the same thing about your mother. But it says, a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Now, when we have finished the amazing race, and what Paul is talking about here is that he is going to receive a crown. And he knows it because there's a righteous judge. Who is that righteous judge? God the Father is a righteous judge. But he also said it's not just for him, but he said it's for all of us and those that love his appearing. Now, Dale was singing about songs of heaven. And oftentimes people get so busy in life, they forget about the goal. They forget that they're supposed to really be loving His appearing. And they're supposed to be watching and waiting. But you see, when Paul was talking about this, I was glad that he addressed that not only is that crown for him, but it's for all those that love His appearing. So you see, when we end this race, we have an award. It's not $1 million, but it's a lot more than that, right? We have life eternal. We're going to step over into a great place. I don't even think about streets of gold. I kind of think about, well, I won't have to rush around anymore. I can just sit down at the feet of Jesus. I told someone this the other day, and I say it quite often. I want to just sit down by the river of life with Jesus. I want to take my shoes off because I like to go barefooting. And I want to sit on the banks with Him, and I want to talk to Him. And I want a bologna sandwich and a glass of tea. You know what? A lot of people might like a lot of things, but I'm telling you, the simple life is good for me. But to think about communing and fellowshipping with Jesus Christ, our Lord, yes, we should love and want to see His appearing. But this is what Paul was talking about, and he gave this to Timothy. He was trying to prepare Timothy for the race and what there is there for him. He was, Timothy knew that he was about to get the gavel. If you read 2 Timothy in chapter 4, you'll see. Because Paul continues to say that he entrusts Timothy. He entrusts him to the gospel. But you know what? If we're going to make the amazing race, it does take preparation, don't it? What is our preparation? What do we do? This is kind of Colin's ministry this morning. What do? What does it take? In preparation for the race, and we took it off to a little bit different spin, when you commit your life to the Lord, you were excited. I bet if every one of you could testify tonight, you could talk about the excitement that you had when you made Jesus Lord of your life. I bet you wanted to go and tell everyone about it, didn't you? You were excited about prayer, and you were excited about the Word of God. Folks, I'm telling you, that total communication with God every day is the only thing that's going to sustain you. The Word of God is the only thing that's going to sustain you. Because it becomes new every day. It's not old. It's new every day. Even if you read that scripture yesterday, you read it again today, it's new all over again. But see, we have to prepare. Winning others to Christ is important. And the fire is burning. Y'all, our fire needs to be burning. I'm sorry, I'm old Pentecost. And I'm not sorry either. Because you know what? I'm not ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ. Wherever I go, I want to pronounce Jesus Christ. And I want people to know that I love Jesus. But we have to prepare for the race. Winning others to Jesus is important. When I was writing this, this is a scripture that came to me. Now, folks, I want you to know I'm not eloquent, but I do hear the Holy Spirit. If you are going to speak, you better have the Holy Spirit with you because you're no good at it otherwise. Holy Spirit has to lead and direct us, but it says in Jude verse 21, 22, and 23, it says, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And if some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating the garment spotted by the flesh. Folks, every time I read this, I get teary-eyed. Because there's a lost world out there. And if we're not interceding for our families, our church members, those that are indifferent to God, shame on us. Because you know what? We're responsible for trying to pull them out of the fire. If it takes fear, if it takes a sermon of hellfire and brimstone, then so be it. People need to know that there is a God that will judge one day. The other night when we were at the barn, Vonnie gave her testimony about what God had done in her life. When Vonnie finally gave everything to God and said, okay, I'm ready, her children began to change. Did you know that sometimes he's waiting on you and you and you to change things? He's waiting on you to intercede to pull those people out of the fire. Y'all, there's a hellfire one day. It's a real hellfire. It's spoken of in the Word of God. But you know what? There's a lot of people that have spotted garments out there, but they need Jesus. And you know what? It takes prayer. Preparation, and it takes prayer. When Peter was in prison, his friends began to pray for him. Acts 12 and 5. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison. Y'all, this is King James Version, so. But prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God. Prayer continued. If you remember, Herod imprisoned Peter. But then the church began to pray. And it's really strange as you go through this scripture and read it. The church began to pray, but when Peter appeared and had been released from prison, what did they do? They were astonished. Does that not sound like the rest of us? Yeah, we're no better than that. And our astonishment sometimes when God does things, you ask for it and God does things. And this is so out of character, but I'm going to say it anyway. The other night we had graduation. My youngest grandson graduated from high school. And on the way out there, and I went early because I wanted to help get a seat and save a few seats. And so it was at the depot for the first time. So anyway, I had carried my umbrella and two ponchos. But on the way out, I thought, Brenda, why are you taking those? And then I began to pray. And you can say this is selfish if you want to, but we're going to pray about everything, everything. And I prayed and I said, God, I know that there's people around here that need rain. But I'm asking you, dear God, to cease the rain over the depot tonight. The clouds came in and we had enough sprinkles that I put my poncho on. That's a lot of faith, isn't it? See what I mean? Anyway, it just sprinkled just a little bit. But it cooled down, y'all. It cooled down to a comfortable temperature. And you know what? I went in, and I like to tell people what I prayed for because I want them to see what God does. And I told my son-in-law, Trey, who is lost and don't know Jesus. I said, Trey, I want you to know what I prayed for before I got out here. He said, what's that, Mom? I said, I prayed that the Lord would not let it rain on the depot tonight, but let it rain everywhere else. He said, I'm glad you said that because Sand Blatt needs it. And but anyway, I thought, well, I'm going to leave that alone now. So I just left it alone. But I can't wait to hear what he has to say tomorrow night. He's going to come over for fried chicken because Hope's out of town. I want to see what he has to say about that answered prayer. But see, God honors. God finds favor with his people. Do you believe that? I know that sounded real selfish, but that meant a lot to me. And he cares about me. He wants to know what's going on in my life. And I'm going to tell him. Because if I don't, who's going to? You say, well, he already knows. Well, it don't matter. He said for us to ask. Didn't he? You have not because you ask not. So I'm going to ask. That's just the way it is. But Peter was in jail, and then they prayed, and all of a sudden, here he shows up, and all the astonishment that was going on. So anyway, when he showed up, I thought, boy, I bet, you know, that's a real meeting. That's a fellowship meeting right there. Revelation 8 and 4 says, and I want to talk about the prayers. It says, and the smoke of the incense, which came with the prayers of the saints, this, y'all, is a revelation, ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. Okay. You know all these prayers we've prayed, Paula? They're our prayers. You say, well, That can't be. Yes, it can. Because in Revelation 5 and 8 it says, "Now when he had taken the scroll out of the four living creatures, and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints." I'm going to tell you what, your grandmother's prayers in those bowls. Our prayers are in those bowls. You can't tell me that God forgets a prayer. He's too big. He's too good. He loves us. He doesn't forget the prayer, but we have the commitment in order to finish the race to pray. To pray and seek God. Don't ever think and don't let Satan that take that away from you. Prayer's at work and it's part of our race. Jesus told the disciples, he said, "I must be alone." He wanted a place to go and commune with God. There were times that he would say, "You can't go with me because I need time to commune with my Father." Rosetta sung of that song, and she said that she was on the floor. Someone was on the floor in prayer. Y'all, it wouldn't hurt us to do some floor time. Floor time with God. Lay on the floor, prostrate before him. Humble yourself before him so that he can do the mighty works in our lives and help us to finish the amazing race. Y'all, the race is real. And you know what? It takes sacrifice. Are you willing to sacrifice? Or am I willing to sacrifice? Are we willing to do what we need to do? Paul gave his life to the ministry. He had the Damascus Road experience. We know that Paul was an eloquent man in the studies of Judaism. He had been brought up that way. He knew everything. But when God spoke to him, it changed his life forever. His dedication and his efforts were pointed toward Jesus Christ. He did not live a normal life, what we call normal. You go home and you spend time with your spouse and your children. Paul never gave himself that advantage. He dedicated his whole life to God and to the ministry. So this man was full of sacrifice. He did the sacrifice that he needed to. I'm not telling you to not be married. I'm not telling you to not have children. I'm just telling you, when we read the scripture that Paul was involved in, let's take it serious because he made a big sacrifice doing that. But you know what? He obeyed God. When God spoke to him, he obeyed. He was a changed man, never the same again. I would imagine if I'd been struck down like that with a light, yes, I'd be changed. But he was changed in a radical way because you know what? He did sacrifice many things. Another thing it takes to finish the race, it takes love. It takes love. In my opinion, a mother's love is like no other. Even animals know how to treat their children. They even know when to take them away and let them be weaned. They know how to love on them and do their, what is their obligation? Some people are not very lovable. Now, y'all can say that, can't you? You going to agree with me? Or are you going to be telling a story? Some people are not very lovable, but we must love them. Sometime I'll say to someone, "I don't like you, but I do have to love you," you know? And I ask God to help me to like you. Be honest. Well, Jesus laid down his life and showed his love for us. God so loved the world that he gave his only son. He gave his only son. How much do you love? How much are you going to do to show your love for others? Love people where they are. Don't love them and try to change them. Change is God's job, not ours. When we love them unconditionally, just like Jesus loves us, they can feel that and they can know that. If you help them and encourage them and then you cut them down because maybe they don't do things like you do, you've negated everything that you tried to do. Unconditional love was expressed when Jesus died on that cross. Unconditional love was expressed when God gave His only Son. We are to love even when we don't want to. And it takes commitment. I never did track in school, but it takes endurance and much preparation. We fall down, but we get up. We cry, but we laugh. We grieve, but we have joy. This is our commitment. We get up, and we're going to keep going. There was a man that was quite a sports figure in the 1940s. His name was Jackie Robinson. Jackie Robinson began and was chosen by a major league team to play baseball April 1947. Jackie Robinson was a black man, African-American man. He was the first African-American to play Major League Baseball. He would show up and he'd be ridiculed. Even his own team would talk down to him. They would boo him and hiss him and make fun of him. They wouldn't allow him to use their bathrooms. He could not sit down at the restaurant with the team. He couldn't participate with them in anything. He had to go to the black hotels or motels that night. It's got to be a lonely place to be, wouldn't you say? But Jackie Robinson stayed with it. Then one day, they were playing the Reds. It's called the Reds in Cincinnati. And when they were playing, there was a ground ball hit to him. He bobbled it and lost it. And again, he was made fun of, hissed, booed, yelled at. Someone even threw a black cat into the arena, making fun of him. At that time, his captain was Pee Wee Reese. Pee Wee Reese went over to the pitcher's mound and said, "Time out." He left the mound and went over to Jackie Robinson, and he put his arm around him, stood there, and looked at the crowd. They quit yelling. They quit hissing. They quit making fun of him. And as you know and I know, he was one of the greatest Major League Baseball players there ever was. You see, someone has to stop long enough to love that man so that the world can see he's a man. He was a man. He was a man that had a soul just like all the rest of them. But because society, culture said it wasn't acceptable, they wanted to put him in his place. I want to tell you something. Jesus loves everyone. I don't care what color it is. But in our race, it takes commitment. Commitment to the lost. Commitment to say, "Yes, I'm ready." It takes preparation. It takes love. It takes sacrifice. When we're in a race, we have to realize that at some point, someone is going to win. And I want you to know that I'm going to win. Are you going to win? Are you going to pick up the mantle and continue on? The race is amazing, guys. And you that have been in the way or serving the Lord many, many years, I'm preaching to the choir. But let's don't forget that just because our bones are old, our body is old, cracks a little bit when we walk, that God cannot use us, because he still wants to use us. He wants to use you. It's kind of like Katie and Thurman out there. Y'all think they have a party, don't you? Mm-hmm. They do with Jesus. But what keeps them going is the people that have been touched, the people that have been healed, the people that have been saved, the people that have come from different churches or no church, and they've been loved on and they've been cared about. They've been nurtured. They've had the commitment. And they have a personal touch. We're there to put our arms around them and love them. Just like Pee Wee Reese did Jackie Robinson. We're here to love each other and to lift each other up. Y'all, the race is not over. We got work to do. And I ask God tonight that he would put a new zeal, a new desire in our hearts to continue on. Because I know you get tired. I get tired too. But when it comes to Jesus, I can get fired up again. You know, that's something to get excited about, is our love for Jesus Christ. And tonight I want to pray for all of us. Father, I just thank you tonight because you first loved us. And every day you show your love to us. And tonight, Lord, we realize that we're also in a race, as Paul was in a race. And Paul finished his race, and we will one day. But God, in the meantime, I pray that you would help us through the Holy Spirit to be prepared, to sacrifice, to love, to be committed, to pray, and to carry on. I ask, dear God, that you touch this fellowship. Let them know tonight that they are loved and that everything they do for you is appreciated. Father, let us not be weary in well-doing. But let us see the course, Lord, and take it with vigor. To know that we can help someone along the way and be an encouragement to someone along the way. And for these favors, I ask it in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen.